the Township of McKellar Special Meeting of Council, the first budget meeting of January 31st, 2025, to order. Start with roll call.
Councilor Marley Hoskin.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Treasurer Roshan Gantia.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Mike Hakkinen.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Public Works Superintendent Tom Stoneman.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Have resolution 25-043, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskell. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for the special meeting of Council as presented. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. They have resolution 24-044, moved by Councilor Haskell, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby move into committee the whole at
2:01 p.m.
For staff presentation and discussion of the draft 2025 annual budget. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, Roshan, stage is yours. And I don't know whether you want questions as we go along, you just want to do a brief intro to everything? Or
You know, everything is mentioned in my budget report, so I would just start with the questioning. If they have, you know, council have any question, we can go through it right now.
Okay, there you go. And you'd mentioned, I think, previously that you wanted to look at the capital budget first.
Yeah, I would rather start because we already discussed capital budget last year. So pretty much we know most of the items, or I would say 90% of the items are same. So if we start the capital budget, then it will be easier.
Okay, so that's right at the near the end of the package. Just maybe go through and highlight some of the figures, and then we can turn it over to the department heads as well, and where they come up with these different figures. I mean, they don't have to go through every line by line, but that might be helpful as well. So if you just wanted to start at the top with the revenue. And
sorry, I got it.
Thanks. So is everybody on that page? Page one, is that
we're
all on the same page?
Yeah. Capital revenue, the revenue is mostly, the first part is the grant and the miscellaneous revenue. We are going to get it in 2025. So Ontario Community Investment Fund, we are going to get $168,056. Building fund or gas tax, we are going to get $92,944. And the Hardwell Road grant from the North, it's expected is $90,000. Baseball diamond field construction, remaining amount is $141,252.37. Fire department revenue, $16,224. This is the grant we applied, and it's already approved for the exact same amount, $16,224. Miscellaneous revenue for Hardwell Bridge is $50,000. The total of these items are $558,477.23. And the remaining amount is coming from the reserves.
Just a question about the NORD grant.
Yeah.
So the total amount of that was 342,000?
Plus 90,000 this year.
So in
this is the final payment,
000.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The remaining amount is coming from the reserve. The total of reserve is 2,108,891.28. So if you include the grant and miscellaneous revenue and plus the reserve, the total revenue, capital revenue is 2,667,368.51.
So that additional 342,000, where is that captured?
It's part of the reserve. So if you look at here, Hardwell Road, that's part of, that included 703,187.68. So that's the total of the capital revenue, and then we can come to the capital expenses. Administrative department, we budgeted $11,384.70. That's the remaining balance of the server we purchased last year. So half of the amount we paid last year, and the remaining half is coming this year. Then next budget line item is the fire department. The total for the fire department budget item is $608,224, which included the $25,000 for portable radios, radio tower maintenance $150,000, station 2 exterior painting and ceiling of windows $4,000, mini pumper $400,000, two hydrant is $13,000, and firefighting tools and equipment $16,224. That 16,224 is coming out of the grant, which I already mentioned in that. So I'm not sure if the individual department, individual department would like to talk about it.
That's probably the best way, and
okay.
to sort of make a case for these and lobby a bit. So Rob, if you want to come up.
Sure.
Okay, we've been here before, it feels like, but...
every year.
Yeah, I mean, again, just make your case, and I guess the situation is, you know, worst case scenario, what happens if we don't give the full allotment to what we're requesting, and can we get along without certain things? Or
we can always get along. We can always get along. So the portable radios and radio tower, which were put in, approved for last year's grant, last year's budget. There is significant carryover because we had the condemnation, like using the right word, of the tower. The advice to have it replaced. So of the 50,000 that was originally allotted for radio system upgrades, I believe there's in the neighborhood of I'm just trying to get the exact figure for what was carried over last year. There we go. For portable radios, our only spend was 9,738 out of the 25,000, and that was the upgrade of our pager radios. We spent 5,571 essentially on the assessment of the tower. So there's approximately 20,000 that gets carried over. I've requested that this doesn't have to be new money. This is just carryover money from last year. It gets transferred from 24 to 25. And so that will help sort of soften the blow of the replacement of the tower. The latest figure that I have on the tower is from an email from Mr. Dirks from last week. The tower cost is approximately $146,000 as of right now. I do not have any indication as to how potential tariffs or whatever will affect that. I don't know. But in order for us to be in a position to start construction on a new tower when the frost is out of the ground, we are essentially looking at $146,000 right now for that self-supporting tower right beside the dump or the transfer station.
So is that dismantling the old one? Is that still included?
That's not including the dismantle of the old one, as far as I can. This was a very loose number that I was given via email. We had a conversation, if you remember, back in December about the possibility of Bell now coming into the mix. And while they promised me numbers back in early December, the number they still don't have them, and the numbers are apparently 4 to 6 weeks away. Like everything I was warned about with working and getting on Bell Towers, they seem to be coming true. And the initial, I asked him for a ballpark. I said, look, I'm going to sit down in front of council and talk budget. I need a ballpark, at least so that we can continue the conversation. And the ballpark that I have is $5,000 to $7,000 a month.
A month.
A month. Which would mean that we've essentially paid off our tower that we own and can feel free to make revenue off of by a net spectrum and so forth within just under 3 years. So it didn't make any sense to me. To continue with that Bell line of questioning. So.
Well, just one more question. So the dismantling, the cost for the dismantling, where is that going to be included in here?
That was in the original quote, and I believe that was $20,000 or so,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And yes, sorry, that probably we should have put that in there, and that would be my oversight. So yeah, we can factor around $20,000 to $25,000 in order to take the tower down, the old tower down. Now, the good news is, the cost of the tower has actually come down by almost $20,000. So, yeah. So I can request from Mr. Dirks an update as to the cost to dismantle.
So that figure should probably...
That figure should probably be, yeah. From 150 to 170. Yeah. Apologize for that.
No, that's
what we're saying.
I thought that that included dismantling.
Don't believe it did.
Okay.
Don't believe it.
Well, did we have? Was it 200,000 in the first when we first were discussing? And I thought
180.
That's
180.
And I thought that was included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I don't know how potential tariffs could affect that in the coming weeks. It may have no effect, it may have great effect.
Of course, we wouldn't have any further information on deterioration over the year. It's in bad shape, yes, as you said, but...
Well, unless we wanted to spend another, what did we spend, $5,000 on the original assessment of it, we'd be looking at the same bill again to get... another indication of it. It's not going to have improved.
No.
I can guarantee you that. And in my conversation with Bell, it was really interesting, actually. It came up that in 2014, the tower had been assessed by Bell back then, and they condemned it themselves.
Oh.
But we've seen no, I have no paperwork to that effect, and we had nothing in the office to that effect.
Yeah.
So, but he knew exactly what tower we were talking about, the kind of condition it was in.
Wow, so it was condemned 2014 and it's still standing strong.
Apparently.
All we need to do is ask, is it ExploreNet that has their dish on there?
Net Spectrum,
yes. It's a 4 foot dish?
I believe so.
So if they remove those, that will reduce the stress on the existing tower. Maybe stand for another 10 years.
It's an option. Yeah.
Can't do that because that's who I'm with.
So we would be looking to partner, and I believe the township clerk has had a conversation with Net Spectrum about them potentially moving to a new tower with us. So we do have that as an option in terms of continuing our at a more market value rate continuing our relationship with them in terms of being able to create an income potential off of it. So. And yes, it'll stand until it falls, and then we have to deal with it. So.
So this. So, is this, where's that being funded from? Is that being funded from the tax levy or from?
It's funded from the tax, some of the amount is funded from the reserve. So if you look at the first page, in the revenue transfer from reserve, so radio tower 50,000, first page. Yeah, so on the top line it says transfer from reserve for radio tower, 50,000, and then painting 4,000, and for the mini pumper 170,000.
From reserves?
Yeah.
So the other?
Remaining has to cover through the levy. I have a suggestion because I'm just looking at the reserve. We have 84,000. We're going to be 84,000 this year for high-speed internet and communication. If council agrees, we can use that amount.
That's the Rogers Tower revenue that we received.
Yeah.
That's on East Point or West.
Yeah.
West Point.
Yeah.
I believe it's West Point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
The East Point of West Point.
Yes. West Point.
In that area.
Okay, well that's good. That's an option then.
Yeah, that will offset, you know, half of the amount at least.
Okay.
So yep. So we have another. Sorry, we have the carryover from the last year's budget of 50,000. I don't anticipate that the actual radio upgrade will cost any more than that at this time. We're going to be able to use a lot of the equipment that we purchased last year going forward. In terms of our repeaters and telequip is more than capable of handling our account going forward with that. So as soon as we get the structure in place, they will be integral in terms of the installation of the antenna as the structure goes up and the installation of the repeater and so forth. And I've been assured that we will have zero downtime when that happens. So. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
The other carryover that I had was the 30,000 which was allotted for the upgrades to Station 2. We decided to go in-house and we had our own guys paint it. Our deputy chief, Dave, was more than capable of running a crew and had the experience to do the painting of the hall. So we had originally 30,000 set aside and a total overall spend so far of 9,094. So significant savings. He has just completed painting the inside of the hall, and so the carryover that I had requested was in the neighborhood of about 4,000 just to finish the job off. And then that combined with the 16,000 that we had in turn from the Ontario Fire Marshal anti-cancer grant, the money had to be spent on equipment for anti-cancer and cancer awareness with the firefighters. We have purchased a gear extractor, which is a specialized washing machine for cleaning biohazardous and hazardous materials out of bunker gear, and bunker gear racking. So Station 2, a complete facelift will be done as soon as we get those delivered and installed. But they have been paid for. Those two things have been paid for through the grant. So, yeah, fantastic.
And
no, that's great.
We've got a little over half of what that budget was for last year. As carryover, that we won't have the need for it, so it can be put into another pile.
Okay, Roshan.
I would like to add the on the Robert's comment regarding the washing machine. I think that's going to come through.
It's a washing machine, yes.
Yeah, coming through the grant is already being ordered, right?
I have ordered them.
Yeah, and it's we have to spend by March 31st.
Correct. It has to be in place by March 31st.
Yeah.
Did they give you a date to when it would come? Like, will it come before March 31st?
The money? No, we have to spend the money.
Machine?
Oh, sorry. Yes, it should be within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yes. when it does arrive, I will arrange, because I won't be here, for somebody to accept it and so forth, and then we'll work on the installation of it towards the end of February.
You should be good.
We should be totally good, and then the reimbursement from that comes in, I believe it says quarter three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Good. Now into some of the minor items. Mini pumper.
So the mini pumper, as we talked about a few years back, with the essentially the outlook, the 5-year outlook that was provided, Rescue 2, is in need of replacement. It is an older vehicle with very high mileage, and it's not ideally suited for the use of a fire department. We had an instance, and one of the biggest benefits to this is the fact that it's a G-class truck, and we had an instance in a cottage that I would probably put the valuation closer to just over $3 million, where we couldn't get water to the property except to bring trucks down from Station 1, and it was in Station 2's area, because we didn't have any DZ drivers available to respond. So we responded with Pumper 1 and Tanker 1. But Station 2 was only had G drivers available, and they were only able to bring Rescue 2. So it delayed us and our ability to get water to make critical interventions if we needed it. This was smoke in the building, and it ended up being nothing. But it was a highlight to me, again, of why this truck, I feel, is very important, because any firefighter can drive it. You don't need a DZ license in order to operate it. And it provides transportation for enough water to make, like I said, a critical intervention, to save a life or to put out a small fire, or at least, you know, make an impact initially. And then our responsibility is to get the water to that truck after that, to keep it going. So,
The scenario you mentioned, I'm just wondering what the price would be, and maybe there's no interest for people to get their DZ licenses. Is that something we could look at?
I encourage everybody to get their DZ license. We essentially, I give them one of our guys who has a 100% pass rate in terms of training people on their DZ license. My deal is essentially, when you go for it, I'll pay for the test, and you get to use Mark, and you get to use the truck for your training, in order to, you know, they might as well train on the trucks they'll be driving, right? So that's it's what they do with that license in their own time is their own business, and they can worry about getting used to a Freightliner or something like that. But for our purposes, I encourage everybody to get their DZ license. It's just a commitment, though, and everybody's working hard and paying bills, and sometimes people don't have the interest or the free time in which to commit themselves to getting their DZ license. So it's definitely something that that we all encourage in the fire department. So it's tough. It's not always available.
Okay.
So I thought maybe it's for the A license that you had to go for a course. They changed it where you could just go and do the test.
It's only AZ.
So it's AZ. So DZ, you're okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say it's so expensive now to go to get your license.
Absolutely.
Because before you used to be able just to go in and do the test, and you could get it if you passed.
Yeah, I believe.
But it's just the A, okay.
That's
so
right.
So you're clear.
Yeah. So, with the DZ, we provide Mark Davidson, he's got a very good pass ratio right now with helping people. And so they go in, they write an initial test, and then they do training with Mark, in which they go out, and Mark will spend hours with them at the fire hall, drilling them on air brake checks and all of those important things that are part of the test, and then he'll go with them, and they'll take Tanker 1 for a few hours on a Tuesday morning and go and do the test in Parry Sound.
So have very many of them come forward and done it?
He's shepherded, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 people through it. But again, it's those people have just happened to mostly have been out of Station 1. So we can't always choose who has what, and so we're just trying to make the best of the situation that it is. We always manage to get there. We We always manage to get water there. It's just not ideal, the fact that we can't guarantee that it's on the first vehicle in the door, right? So it's a common problem with all volunteer fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It used to be actually that you could, in an emergency, drive a a G driver could drive a DZ truck to an emergency, and then if there was nobody there able to take it, the police would either escort or drive it back for you. And I believe it was in Callander that there was an 18-year-old who passed away in an accident driving a volunteer fire truck. Yes.
So they call it an
accident. So they don't do that anymore. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Just one thing that came to mind here. Was there a leak on the roof at fire hall number 2?
We have not experienced leak at all. I believe that the people who were doing the church, they finished, sealed it off at the end of the fall. Right? It was just missing a few metal screws and so forth to hold a certain piece of it down, and they would have installed as well the tracing lines for the de-icer. So yeah, that was supposed to happen at the end of the fall,
and that was completed.
I believe it was. Yes, I believe that went through and paid for, right? So
okay,
so nice and dry in there right now.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah. Roshan on the spot here. It's rather convoluted how this mini pumper is to be paid for. What's the breakdown? So much for reserve. So
117 coming out of the reserve, so basically remaining amount has to cover through the levy.
So we have 15 from the painting that can help go towards that.
That's all covered, so that's
all
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
170 is coming out of reserve, including so far whatever surplus we have and everything.
Yeah, okay.
So
did you say 170?
Yeah, 170 is on the first page. So remaining 230 has to cover through the levy.
Right. Well, like you say, everything is factored in here right now with the total that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a question of whether council at the end of all of this exercise has to pare down in some of the figures and whether that increase is palatable to the ratepayers. But that's good to hear. Real life situation where it would be required to have it.
Immediately beneficial in a situation like that.
Yeah. And the hydrants I could held up because I guess our engineer didn't get a chance to really look closely at Lakeshore.
Yeah.
Boat launch, and that's where you wanted to locate it. So.
That's one of the places. The other one would be down at the boat launch by Stewart Park.
Right.
What's that fire? 202, I think.
Yeah.
200 is the one that goes back.
200,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. One there would be halfway up the lake, and one on Lakeshore would be ideal as well. We have our tanker certification happening at the end of the summer this year, which happens every 5 years. We have to demonstrate to the fire underwriters group that we can provide water to a fire comparable to what a fire hydrant can in an urban municipality. And so we achieved that 5 years ago, and now we're up for renewal. So we will be drilling very hard over the spring and the summer and rehearsing and practicing in order to make sure that we nail it on the day. Shouldn't be too much of an issue. We're quite used to it. We're quite good at it. And we have some good partners in McDougal that we helped them 2 years ago achieve theirs. And so it's, you know, we'll work together because they're our mutual aid partner. We commonly ship tankers back and forth.
So do you need the hydrant to do that?
So the hydrant makes it easier because it's a larger diameter pipe that's already installed, right? It just makes the actual transfer of water much safer and easier, especially during the winter. So while we could achieve it in the summertime, it's and likely have no issue with it by throwing suction hoses into the water over the bridge. During the winter time, when that's all frozen up, we have, well, it could be a substantial delay in getting access to that water.
So when you passed it the last time, did you have the hydrant?
I wasn't here.
Oh.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, if it was 5 years ago, I think the hydrant went in after that, so
yeah.
The one down.
There is one in the Hurdville Dam that they may
oh,
have
okay.
used for it.
Mm-hmm. I know the other one, I guess it was removed after that spill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Actually, it was put in during the spill.
Oh, okay,
and it was
so
removed afterwards because of permissions.
Okay, so it wasn't in that long ago then?
It was taken out 2 springs ago,
okay.
23, I think.
So, with the with that dry hydrant, so does this? Are there suction lines that come directly from the truck and hook up to that
correct.
Dry hydrant?
Yes.
Okay, so it's, they're not pumping from with smaller transfer pumps up to the truck. It's
correct.
The truck's actually
the driving. Truck is actually pulling the water in,
okay.
and then filling up a tanker. So we would put a 6-inch hard suction hose from the truck to the actual hydrant, and then they'd be gone. So if we were parking a tanker in there, then we would have the ability to draw it straight through the tanker into the tank, unhook the hose, and you're gone. If we had an access issue or if we couldn't spare the tanker, then we would fill our pumper and then pump that water via the pumper uphill or wherever, so to the place where the tankers could easily access it, fill the tank, and then they'd be gone. It all depends on the scenario that they give us. You can't always get a tanker into everywhere you can get a pumper.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So the closer you can get with the whatever truck you're using,
correct.
The better for...
Correct. So the Lakeshore, Stewart Park, those are both ideal because you're 10 feet away from the source, right? We have 2 8-foot lengths of hard suction. So we can go within 16 feet.
Okay, anything else for capital? I don't know whether you
yeah.
wanted to speak to operating as well or
yeah.
while you're here.
That's up to you. I can give the floor to Tom for the capital and then
it
I'm in no hurry.
If you don't mind waiting.
Not at all. Not at all.
I think we'd better stay with capital to put.
That's no problem at all.
Well, I think in Tom's case it was a zero balance, wasn't it? Your requests.
So, the next item on the capital list is the new vehicle from building department. The budgeted amount is $28,281.63, and that's actual amount, and it's covered through the reserve. So. $28,281.63 is coming out of reserve to cover that expense.
Now, speaking of which, and I know it's a little off topic, I'm always concerned of being proactive. Nothing's happened to the old CBO vehicle, but that's sitting out there in prime spot year after year. And I thought there was a plan at some point to actually store it over at the fire hall in one of the areas over there. I don't know whether that's still.
I've never heard this.
Oh, okay.
I never heard that either.
Oh, well, and I wasn't even on council.
I heard it just this week.
Yeah. And my concern is that it's sitting out here, and there's been no problem, but you could have any number of things happen to it. That's a new vehicle now, relatively new, and whether we should be storing it in a safer place, and also one that's easily accessible for our CBO, so he doesn't have to clean it all off and warm it up. I don't know if we have a location or not. I know there's no room over at the work garage.
Is there room in fire hall number one?
We have.
Short answer is no. We do have a bay door that's around the side, which theoretically he can park a vehicle that size in. It becomes an issue if we have people there, then he's very likely going to be locked in. He's not going to be able to get out. And any of the front access doors obviously have larger. So we can clean it out, and he can theoretically put a vehicle in there. I just can't guarantee, obviously, at all times he's able to get it in.
some question at the time whether he wanted that. So,
so
you,
yeah, yeah. It's not ideal, but it's we can definitely work as a team to make sure that something can happen.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, so we don't know if he wants it.
No,
stored in.
It's a question that council has to consider too, whether he wants it, whether it's convenient, or whether we think it's best for township property.
Like for winter time would be great.
Yeah.
For summertime, which he uses it a lot, right? And it's convenient because it's right here.
Well, it's convenient, yes. I just don't want a situation, as I said, sitting out there all the time. And I don't know if cameras are even working around this building.
Are they?
We definitely have the room in station two, but that is
That's
very convenient.
Right. just my concern with a relatively new vehicle, and it could be tires, it could be anything, headlights, and where it came from, I would assume that you'd have to take it back there for maintenance. So that's a little trip too.
If he needed to put it in during the snowy months, then I'm sure we can make it.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll run that by. Yeah. Sorry, Tom.
That's okay.
Well, I guess Rochamp was in the middle of explaining about that, and then you were going to go on to roads first? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So next item, anyhow, is roads. So the first one is pickup truck. 101,000 we budgeted for the pickup truck, and we ordered the pickup truck, but then it seems like we won't be able to get the pickup truck. Is that right?
We're not sure yet.
So that's
just delayed.
It's delayed at this point, and it's from the manufacturer. The dealer is surprised. They called to check because delivery was mid-January.
Yeah.
And Ram informed them, and they've got several of these vehicle orders, not just for us, that they're not building them in 2025 with a gasoline engine. So they made quite a fuss, and there's other dealers making fuss, and Ram was supposed to get back to them, Dodge was supposed to get back to them, that maybe they would build these ones that are ordered, and I think that would be the right thing to do, but I haven't, at this point, I haven't heard back.
And where are they manufactured?
Somewhere in the U.S.
Oh, okay. Because I'm wondering if our premier knew that it's held up because it's there's nothing available in gas.
But they're doing diesel?
They're doing diesel, and we don't want a diesel. So I'm hoping for an answer soon because it leaves our only option is Ford. We can go back to Ford and see what they can do.
And how is the old 550 holding up?
It's past its prime, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So much so that the parts that there was a major repair last summer, as you remember, those parts had to come used. The front end parts weren't manufactured anymore. So it's not something we want to keep.
What year is it?
2009.
Okay, well, I guess we'll keep it in the budget and then go from there if we ever receive it. But.
Yeah, it's actually left over. It should have been. It was in 2024's budget.
Right.
Next item on the list, on the page number 3, is the center road. Again, the remaining cost is budgeted for $575,221.97. That's the leftover from the last year, whatever we got the money and whatever we spent it, put it back into the reserve account, and it's coming out of the reserve account.
Does that include road line painting for that stretch of road?
No, that's we've got painting under the
maintenance
budget.
Yeah, we have separate line in the operating budget set just for painting. That's where it's coming. Next item is Hardwell Road. Total cost of the project is $1,123,900.
I don't know whether you want to talk about each one as we go, or
I don't know if the council would like to have discussion about those projects, or you know, you just want me to go through the list.
I think maybe if you just go through them, and then Tom can take us back to each one. And
that's just for me. It's just whether you have any questions. We've visited them all before. This,
oh, okay.
this one, we know is the drawings are done and it's ready to tender.
Yeah.
So let's see if it gets approved under this budget, then. Our engineer is ready to start tendering some of the project. We want to tender it early spring so we get the contractors.
There was something that came out recently, I guess it was one of the checks that was signed for the engineer. He talked about 5.3 kilometers of Herdville. He was doing an inspection of the rest of it, I guess up to where it reaches Broadbent Road.
Yes, that was under your direction.
Yes.
After a meeting.
Well, yes,
he completed that, so
yeah.
We knew what the costs were for
right.
For future.
I think we
have those estimates now. I don't know if they've been presented to you or not.
Correct. No. I think they just will be presented. I mean, the check was there for what he did, but he said there were no drawings as such yet. And that'll be an added expense too. And I guess the other question is, maybe you got it in here. The other question is, once we get to the end of all this, we had talked about it before too, is Burnett's really far enough? If Bob has already done some of the work that goes to the end of Herdville, should we be looking at that as a priority this year? Dare I say, all of Herdville. Anyway, I'll leave it in your hands.
Okay. Next item on the list is Herdville Bridge. The estimated cost is $400,000. $50,000 is coming as of now from the insurance, and remaining amount we have to cover through the levy.
And as a side note, that claim is not closed yet. They are still negotiating with the at-fault driver's insurance company, and we may get more money.
Yes,
we're still working on that.
Did we ever consult with McDougall?
I'm not sure if Carly did, but I know Carly and I talked about it, but I didn't talk to them personally. But the bridge is wholly within our township.
Bridge falls in our township, even though McDougall Fire Department was there on the day of the accident, but then it falls on our side. That's why they won't be involved.
At that point, the road is not on the boundary, it's wholly within the county.
What does our boundary road agreement say? Because the Municipal Act says that it doesn't matter if a bridge structure or even a road is not wholly in a municipality, it's still the asset of responsibility of both municipalities.
Right, and I'm not sure.
We need
Carly was looking into it, and I'm not sure if she found anything in it.
We need to find out, because
yeah.
The Municipal Act specifically says that that's the responsibility of both municipalities. So we need to see if there is a boundary road agreement with McDougall, and if there isn't, we need to start ensuring that we have one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I know, as you say, with the way the Act reads, it's part of a boundary road might be right within one township. Still the boundary group, and I think that's what we have to look at. The other thing was when they paved that section, I think we talked about it before, McKellar did donate a section. I don't know how much it was. Maybe it was just from Maplewood or Hardy's Road down through to where it leaves the township, but McDougall just sort of, I don't know whether they sent a bill, whether they questioned somebody at the time, and McKellar divvied up, put up what they thought was a contribution to it. And
I think it's only hearsay, and it's from Bob Hughes, actually. We paid our portion, basically, the portion that was through our municipality. They wanted to pave the entire road, and they approached us and said, will you pay this much money so we can pave straight through, sort of from Hardy's to the boundary.
Yeah. But I think Councilor Peckin is right. We have to get that straightened out. Depending on how it's worded, you don't want it after the fact. I mean, if we go ahead and repair that bridge and then go to McDougall asking for money, it's a little harder to get it.
my understanding is, you know, you mentioned it's a boundary, and they were using that road. I have no evidence of it, but extensively, because the other one-lane bridge wasn't used too much down by the golf course, which is all in McDougall Township. So they were using Kirkco Bridge a little more than they would normally do, with heavier loads as well. And so I'm thinking McDougall does have a vested interest in having a good bridge there. If it goes out, then I don't know what their plan would be. So I'm thinking they should be consulted, but maybe we have to get our act together first. Like you say, a boundary road agreement as such. I've been looking at a few of them. They were mainly for urban areas, but and we have difficulty. We have a bit of one that was old with Whitestone, and it was mainly for plowing purposes, I think. And that was somehow moved around in the last couple of years so that we're doing all of Gray Owl now, I think, and it was split before seasonally, and I think they're doing the one in by Manson Lake, Whitestone, which is also part of the boundary. It's interesting because when you look at the road itself, that's sort of a boundary road for a section as well in there.
Yep.
It's not even on the road allowance. It's over further, but it's still counted as a boundary. And yet I don't think Whitestone puts any money into the maintenance from Manson Lake down to wherever comes in to totally McKellar. So boundary road agreements are, and we would have one too back in Locker and the McKellar Ferguson boundary road. We have a number of them. One with Seawa out in Blackwater. And to get them in place and who pays for what for upkeep, it could be complicated. But I think it's something this expensive and something that McDougall would use extensively, I think they should be consulted. But I guess that's in Carly's hands and beyond us right now.
Another point is that this bridge was constructed 100 years ago when the main mode of transportation was horse and buggy.
Yeah.
And the frequency and the amount of traffic going across that bridge was not even close to what it is now, with, you know, loads that are significantly smaller than what is going across that with these massive trucks that go across the bridge. It's a major concern that we should be sort of proactive on. And I was looking for Inholmes Bridge, we only received $50,000 from the insurance company. I think strategically, if we increase the premium on, there's only one real bridge that is of a major concern. You know, you have Veterans Memorial, which is new, Stewart Park, which is relatively new and well constructed, that if we increase the premium just on Kerrville Bridge, knowing that exponentially the chances of something happening, and within all perils policy, that it would be the obligation, even in this situation here, it would be the obligation of the insurance company to repair or replace the bridge within all perils policy. And in this case here, they would be going to bat for us right when that happened if it was in all perils and they were required to repair and replace that bridge.
Exactly.
Knowing that that was coming out of their pocket, they would be going after the at-fault defendant. So.
Yep, that's the way it works.
So if we can maybe, yeah.
Carly was going to talk about it next council meeting, but anyhow, I will let you know that I did got a quote from the insurance as you know requested, and for the Hardwell Bridge is around $1,100 quote for the adding the Hardwell Bridge to the insurance. But the problem is that if you add one bridge to the insurance schedule, then it won't cover the blanket coverage for the others.
So then,
you have to add all of those.
Yeah, and that's a small price to pay, $7,700 for all perils insurance on all the bridges. You know, the one that is of most concern is Hurdville Bridge.
No, $21,000, I think. If you included all the bridges, $21,000.
You said $1,100 or
$1,100 just for the Hurdville.
Bill,
yeah, but you know, if you add one bridge, they are saying that they won't cover the remaining bridges under the blanket insurance. So basically, the $50,000 we used to get it, not anymore if we just included one bridge. So either you have to include all of the bridges, or if you add one, then you pretty much you own for the remaining ones.
We have a quote for that.
Yeah,
and that was $21,000.
Yeah.
To increase our all perils, to like increase our limit to all perils instead of.
Well, when we're looking back at even in Holmes Bridge, that costed us $500,000 out of taxpayers' pockets. You know, if we would have had an all perils policy, just knowing that the probability of incidents that will damage the bridges increases exponentially over the years, especially when the municipal structure inventory inspection report says that it's in not top-notch shape, then I think it's a strategic move to ensure that the taxpayers aren't going to be footing $2 to $3.5 million cost to replace that bridge.
Far enough. Hardwell Bridge is roughly around $1.6 million is replacement cost.
Okay, well, we'll go with the figures we have here, and certainly that's food for thought for future meeting.
So the $50,000 for the Hardwell Bridge is coming out of the insurance, remaining $250,000 coming out of reserve, so $300,000 will be covered. Remaining $100,000 will be coming through the has to cover through the levy. Next item on the schedule is the Ball Diamond. It's the remaining cost of $169,488.81. After that,
I just want to ask quickly about that one. Does that include the, we just have done recently, I guess, the appraisal of the extra property and all of that? Is that in there, or is it?
That was not included, but then on top of whatever, you know, extra cost that has to come through our own pocket, so basically.
Right. Okay, so it wouldn't be through the grant?
No.
Okay. I didn't think it would be, because I don't think they financed purchase
when
property.
When we signed last year the application,
right,
or agreement with them, that cost wasn't part of the,
yeah,
actual application. So.
Okay.
Next item on the list is backhoe. Again, we need a backhoe, and the cost of that backhoe is $200,000. Next item is lawnmower, and the cost of the lawnmower is $12,000. Last year we included as a $10,000, but then we realized it's, you know, $10,000 is not enough, so I changed it to $12,000.
Okay, so just clear that we didn't purchase one last year.
No.
Okay.
No. When we did the I did the capital budget last year in November 2024, I included that item in the capital budget item, but the cost was that time was $10,000, and
right,
we realized that cost is not enough, so I changed it to $12,000.
I think the question would surface probably, how many lawnmowers do we need? Mm-hmm. But if we didn't get one last year, okay.
And the on the page 4, the first item is Balsam Road. It's the hardtop micro seal for 108 kilometer. The cost of that is $66,144. Then we have a Manitou Drive, again micro seal for the Manitou Drive. The cost of that one is $91,584. We need a next item is we need a new gas tank at 676 Highway 124. The cost of that one is $4,500. Then we have a slip fuel tank for F-250, $3,000. And we need a shelving storage at the building, and the cost of that one is $4,000. And the roll-up door repair, the cost of that one is $10,000. Painting, $4,000. And road studies, $10,000. That's the total budget for the capital budget for the public works.
Just to verify with the micro seal, that was done last year?
No.
This
is the balance of Balsam Road?
Balance, okay.
Yeah, the balance of Balsam Road. Manitou Drive, it's should be done now. We've been on a schedule where a year or two later, after it's surface treated with tar and chip, we micro seal it. It makes it last longer. So these are just roads that we've identified as we should carry on with that program, but it seems to work.
that was my question. If we wanted to put the money into, you know, improving another road, could the micro seal wait another year? And I know you're looking at
it's it. Yeah, it's Robin Peter to PayPal.
Right. It's just a question, as I say, when you look around the township, you try to spread around so that the number of people are benefiting.
Exactly, and it's hard to explain when it's a good road,
right?
But you're trying to get as much life out of it as you can, or things just deteriorate more. So
So I'm talking about micro seal. Maybe this spring, after reviewing Center Road, and because of maybe some possible deficiencies, that micro sealing Center Road might be on the list at some point too?
In the future, yes. Not for 2025.
Okay.
But you're speaking of transfer station to Urquhart Road?
No, just what was done this past summer.
Okay, but you had mentioned before.
That, just to look at that as an option, because that stretch of road is in pretty decent shape, and if that could get a top coating of whatever, slurry seal, micro seal, whichever is the best product, just to ensure that maybe we can get another 5 to 10 years out of it.
That's my hope, yes.
So we're having a presentation, I guess, on the 18th?
I heard it's coming up.
I think you're coming for an hour presentation or something. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can have more questions in, and whether it's too late for the micro seal for that particular section of road, or whether it's better than, or it would suffice anyway if we don't have the money rather than repaving everything.
Yeah. Any other questions on any of those items?
I guess looking at the total is what's frightening. Have you prioritized any of these, or?
Well,
yeah, and I know these
are the priority.
But not any
order. The list could be longer. Not necessarily in any order. I mean, as we all know, the Herdville Road project is ready to go. Some of the projects are carried over from last year, so they're, you know, they're sort of on your radar anyways. I don't get to make the decisions you do, but I'm sure you've been looking at them for a couple of years. The BACO, I figured you would have questions about, because it is a large dollar amount, but it's, I think I've explained this before, it's that Case BACO is, it's being assessed right now. So we have to fix it one way or the other. We need to fix it to sell it, or we need to, and buy another one. I wouldn't advise fixing it and continuing to use it, because we've had this same problem before. It's the emissions stuff for the diesel particulate, and it's plugged up again, and it needs to be replaced, and it's an expensive item. So this
is the one that you use where?
This is the one that usually sits at Bell's Hill, or in the past, I think, I wasn't here, but I think it was at the transfer station for the winter, because it's more reliable to start than the old John Deere. But this year, it's sitting in a snowbank, because it's, the particulate filter got plugged up last fall, and it just has no power.
Why does it do that?
The story is, it has to do with a problem it had earlier, the turbo went, so the turbo... So the turbo's been replaced, and now the exhaust is. So this was sort of the year it was built. It's sort of the one of the first years that equipment manufacturers were trying to use particulates to meet EPA standards, right? And I don't think it's a good system.
So
I think it's improved over the years, so it might be a good idea to get a newer.
So if I remember from the last conversation, you were going to look into whether if you sold that.
Yeah. So that's where it. That's where it. Well, yeah, we'll get more money for it if we get it fit.
Okay.
Sure. And we might get quite a bit of money. It's still a good
to put towards
the new one. I wouldn't, you know, put that in here because who knows what it's going to be.
Because if you're looking, you know, and the traders or whatever, you know, cost of equipment is quite expensive.
Yep.
Used equipment.
It sure is.
So so we should be able to get.
Yeah, that's why I think it's worth fixing. So it's going to be assessed here in the next week or so, and we'll have a dollar figure on what it will cost to fix it, so we can make the decision whether we're going to fix it, which I think we probably will. I'll bring it to you in a report. And then going forward, like my recommendation is, because of the age of the cat backhoe, which is our newest backhoe and our main backhoe, and the problems we had with it last year, I think it should be moved into sort of second seat, the alternate backhoe, and have a new one to be the reliable day-to-day use backhoe.
So the problems that you had with the cat last year, was it just because of the maintenance wasn't being done on it properly? It wasn't being maintained properly?
Yeah, and maybe undersized a little bit for some of the stuff that it's doing. It seems to be getting really, really hot when we're sweeping. And you know, heat causes damage internally. So, I'm not a mechanic. I'm suspecting that maybe the pump wasn't sized, the hydraulic pump wasn't sized big enough to run the sweeper. And we do a lot of sweeping in the spring, and it's a hot, dirty job. So, it's not that it's a bad backhoe. It's just if it's had problems, how reliable is it going to be for the next couple of years? I mean. We can always take the risk and not get this year. We put it off.
Just sort of off topic, but maybe you could look at the pros and cons of like renting something to do the sweeping if it's.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, well, that's what we do. That's what we do for doing culverts now. Like, we always rent an excavator or ditching. It's just more efficient to rent, and it's cheaper to rent than to own. I have looked at, well, do we do this instead of replacing the backhoe with another backhoe, do we replace it with a different type of equipment? Maybe a loader that you can put a sweeper on that's bigger and can handle it better, and then it loads trucks in the wintertime and loads gravel in the summertime. It doesn't have a backhoe on the back of it, but or do you get an excavator? But we've been mulling around the ideas, and the best thing to do is have two backhoes.
Mm-hmm.
A new one that's very reliable and one for backup. And it services us best, and any odd equipment, the best is to rent it.
I'm just thinking, like sweeping, you're getting all that in your filters and everything,
yeah.
So it may be better off if you rent something.
Yeah.
That's all.
Go ahead. Road studies, Hardy's Road. Okay, that's fine. As far as Herdville Road goes, was that in our 24 budget? What are the engineer, the study he is now doing on the balance of Herdville Road? Bob's been doing some work, preliminary work on that section. Was that covered, that expense, in the 24?
I did put the 49,000 here as a consulting service, so I'm hoping that it will be covered there. Some of the amounts we paid last year, and the remaining is coming from this year.
Right. Now, if we just decide to be progressive and know that it's a project that's going to happen in the next couple of years, say, should we, there would be additional cost to say to the engineer, yes, we are interested in going forward, do the proper drawings, and be ready to put up for tender. If that's what council decides, is that a figure that we would have to add into this budget?
Yeah.
If the budget's not high enough now, is no, as I mentioned before, he's done the visual, I guess. He's looked at the rest of the 5.3 for Virgo, but he hasn't done any drawings yet. So, yeah, if we wanted that done, that would be an add-on. Councilor Kagan.
So, would the community center be part of Public Works?
It is.
It's
on the operating side. It's in a different section.
Because the roof right above us,
yep,
was assessed approximately 2 years ago when the rest of the roof was replaced. And because it's a different type of roof, they didn't do it at that time. And it was advised that this past year, that it be replaced. So
we have discussed it. Staff has discussed
okay.
it. So and Chris has been up there and looked at it.
Okay.
Carly and I went to him and asked, like, should we be putting it in now, or are we good for another year? And he suggested that we'd be good for another year. I haven't been up there, but he he's been up and looked at the membrane. It's a membrane roof. So, but we should plan for it. So maybe not in 2025. We should plan for it in 2026. Chris was sure we'd be good for another year. We are, I don't know if it's under capital or under operating, but we are having our buildings assessed this summer or spring so that we can make a plan going forward on when things should be replaced. So that would definitely be one of the items I'd be looking at, seeing it's already been identified.
Good, thanks.
And we would have, at the end of this year, we would have $92,000 in reserve for the community center, I believe I'm reading here.
Yeah.
So if something come up where we decided that we had to do expenditure on the roof or something, we do have some money anyways. So I'm glad to see that the reserve is still up that high. I was getting a little worried that our reserve was being depleted for the community center, but that's not too bad of a figure.
Because I know we talked about the floor as well in there.
Yeah, we should be looking at redoing the floor in there. That's again because we have no money, but it's just one of those things that we look ratty having people come there with that floor, and even if we rent it and you look at it, it's like, whoa, that's bad. Like, I really hate to put that off. I'd really like to see us maybe go ahead and see about get quotations for it at least, if that's okay.
Do you want me to include this year's budget?
I would think, we talked about it before, and it's only getting worse. And
it's starting to curl.
The tiles are curling.
Yeah, I was looking at them 2 weeks ago.
And it gets a lot of use
ratty
year round. So.
Yeah. We've looked at the right price.
Sorry. Even if it comes in, it would probably blow our mind, like all prices do anymore. If it comes in at $100,000, well, you know, we can tap, you know, take half of that out of the reserve and try to budget the other half or something, but if we get a figure on it.
It'll be a mini heat
pump. Maybe bicycle.
Yeah, the wear off, we let the one in Point of Arrow, and they seem to have bigger sections of tile.
Yeah.
So probably, this is probably one of the earlier ones that we put in the 90s, and we might have a better product now.
That's right.
Yeah, rather than paring down, now Roshan has to add. That's not good. Anything else from
other item I would like to discuss, which Tom discussed last time in capital budget meeting, is the building for the.
Oh yes, okay. The two or three additions are.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how. What's the council take on that? Because we don't have enough reserve for the building, and we need at least $1 million. So do we need to increase the reserve, or how we are going to tackle if we need to have a building in 2 to 3 years or even 5 years?
Well, it's an election year, right?
Let them worry about it.
No, it's the type of thing we've heard before too. There's no room over there, certainly, to store all the vehicles as well. If you want longevity for your vehicles, you don't want to leave them all outside either. And then we had a fire hall years ago when they first started, and there was no heat, and they had to plug everything in, and you always had to jump start everything. And so I don't want a situation like that developing with the public works, that everything's outside and it's not accessible.
So yeah. We just spent $1,000 on batteries for the grader yesterday because it's been sitting outside, and through that cold stretch, the batteries froze and they were just over the warranty period. So Barry Sound Auto Parts is trying to see what they can do for us because we're 1 month over the warranty period. But $1,000, two batteries in, $500 each. Stored inside, we wouldn't have to.
It's all, other than the money, I think it's and the design, but it's been looked at now by a couple of engineers, I guess. Yeah. And certainly the space is there, but somebody had mentioned too the sand domes or the salt domes, and the problems we might have with that too. I mean, years back when the first one in, they talked about two or a larger one, and that's what we ended up with. But if that's a problem as well, which is priority, that or the building?
I'd say the building's priority is we've got too many things sitting outside and too many things crammed into that building. But we can't forget about that dome. This salt, anything salted needs to be covered by law.
So we don't have the room.
We don't have the room. But we can make room. We can't forget that building. We're going to have it assessed. So hopefully they say it's going to last a few more years. But like Roshan's saying is we should be planning for this stuff when buildings cost millions of dollars now.
Can you get a container?
Most Berkshire Yards are putting up those tarp buildings now. You know, they're huge tarp buildings, but they're reasonable cost. They're not like building a structure, you know. But I noticed Sunridge has one. When you're driving into Sunridge, you see it there. It's been there for quite a few years now, too.
And they don't have any trouble with them collapsing.
Yeah. The snow seems to shed off, and they have trouble with these domes collapsing. That's been the biggest problem with them since they started building them.
Mm-hmm.
There's one, if you watch the news, one collapses somewhere in Ontario every year, and they're replacing them with different ones. Well, we keep the snow away from it, and you know, keep an eye on it. Yeah. So.
So did that answer your question?
No.
I think, as you say, it's one of the priorities. Has like a snowball effect sort of thing. Probably a bad time using that word, but it's affecting the vehicles as well. And I'm wondering if it's something where you build up a reserve, like we've talked about before, and if we can't do it at this particular year, when you come around to doing it, you've got some money to work with. And I know that, where does that reserve come from? If you don't get grants, it comes from the tax base, but maybe that's all we can do is put it on the radar, and put some money aside for it for the future. I don't think there's anything right now. And my fear is, too, once you do this building assessment coming up, we might have a few buildings that need some upgrading. And that'll be another budget item. And that's a priority. One good thing over there, it's not accessed by the public, but some of our other buildings are. Yeah, they have to certainly meet the safety requirements. I'm sure they all do.
No.
Yeah, presently I see it's put $15,000 to be transferred to the building reserve.
Right. Hold
yeah.
that, that'll do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's pretty much a joke.
So right now we have, as of 2025, the balance will be $145,000 in that reserve.
You're talking a million?
Yeah, we're talking, so we got 10%.
The way prices keep going up every year, that $15,000 is pretty much a zero,
right.
Really, in
right.
a way. we're not catching up at all. So anyways, another expense to keep in mind, I guess.
I firmly believe in keeping machinery inside, but when you can't, is there a place where they can be plugged in?
Yeah, we're plugging them in, yeah.
And as well, there's battery blanket warmers.
Battery blanket warmers and battery tenders. We researched getting a battery tender just before Christmas, and we didn't pull the trigger and buy it, which we should have at this point. But it was like $1,500 for a 24-volt system, where they're, you know, less than $100 for a 12-volt system. But it was quite expensive for the 24-volt system. But I think we should get one because we won't get a building here anytime soon.
Yeah, because if the battery is kept charged up, it shouldn't.
Yeah, it's when they deplete.
Yeah.
So it might have had some phantom draw someplace, and when it got low, they froze and it ruined the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
It was only minus 26.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's on our radar to get a battery tender and leave it plugged in.
In the meantime, until things come into play.
Yeah.
Okay, so is that good for capital? We'll go back to operating and switch back and comma break. It's up to you, Roshan, how we do this.
Yeah, there was one more item on the capital. the renovation of St. Stephen Church. For this legal survey and gravel, $15,200 budgeted.
So how much for the legal?
I'm not sure. It's right now, you know, lump sum. Carly thought it's, you know, around $15,200 will cover both items. So.
Really looking forward to the grand opening there, Councillor Keckner.
Yeah.
So did we tell Roshan to put more money aside for the other, for the garage?
Well, I think it was hinted at anyway from Councillor Askelman.
But we haven't given you a figure.
Sorry, I didn't get it.
No figure for it to put in reserves for the garage?
Yeah.
You've got 15,000.
Yeah, 15,000. So on the bottom it says transfer to reserve. So if council would like to increase the amount, just let me know.
Well, again, that's why we have to prioritize sort of thing. It's not something unless you get a large grant at one point, like we did for our Veterans Bridge.
Right.
You try to put money aside each year, but then that will affect the other projects that you want to do, like certain roads and microseal and things like that. So we have to move it around and see where the priority is. Should we be putting it into reserve or put it with the here and now and things that need done? So it's not giving you any direction, I know.
This is second meeting for the capital budget. Before we go on operating side, council have any kind of decision on any projects, or you know, would like to still keep all of them on the capital project?
I think it's sort of a situation where you keep them in the mix until we see the bottom line and what's going to do to the actual tax rate.
Okay.
And then we have to start cutting probably to keep it reasonable. And I know it's something that, you know, taxes go up each year sort of thing. It's just, you know, what can people deal with? And I'm watching some of the other centers too, and they're all over the map with what's happening, anywhere from 4% to 9%. And I think we won't be in that situation until later, but I would say keep it on the books for now, and even some things we talked about today to add to it, and then we'll have to start cutting. I don't know whether we're prepared to start cutting at this point, because we're getting recommendations from the department heads, you know, the experts in the field, not only what they'd like to see, but what they need. And I don't think it's for us to start saying that, well, it makes it very difficult for them to function if we start saying, okay, we're slashing this. So I think we still need some more time to consider just what we presented today.
Okay.
That's okay. So
for St. Stephen's, there's enough money in reserves for that capital cost?
Yeah, it's coming out of the reserve from the...
There's a reserve of 18,000 in the one reserve and 12,000 in the other.
Yeah, so the... that from the 15,200 I'm taking out from the culture reserve.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see it there. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So one thing I'll ask Rojan is are we in a situation where, say, if we decide that, you know, a lot of these capital projects we'd like to go forward, but our tax increase is just not something we can take to the public, could we look at possibly financing, say, one of these lump sums?
We
like,
can.
Say, over a course of 3 to 5 years, and of course that would help control taxes. I'm wondering if council is agreeable, whether Rojan factor into our next budget to maybe, which would help drop our percentage for this year by financing, say, the mini pumper over a course of 5 years. I know we're in the last year or two of the payments on the other?
This is last, first quarter of next year will be the last payment for the, that truck.
Yeah, so close to paying off a really good investment for the fire department there that my thought is, it sounds to me that it's a piece of equipment we're going to have to get at some point, so whether we finance it over 5 years, that would really free up a lot of cash for this year if we thought we wanted to do a little bit of financing. And I think it's something that it's common nowadays to do something like that on major purchases.
I have no problem. I just say it's common. Yes, we have a number of debentures out now. So that's what I want to get straight. How many do we finance all at once, and what's it costing us? Like, we have, you say with a fire truck, well, that's fine, but we still got the pool, $100,000 a year for we're paying as part of the debenture. And then there's going to be the 30, once it's built, the $30,000 a year minimum. I mean, we maxed out, so that's our it, but I'm not sure what they'll be doing, whether they'll be coming back to us. Or, so the pool alone is going to be costing us over $100,000 for that debenture for another 10 years. I think it's 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the pool, yeah. So I have no problem with another debenture as such, but I think we have to look at what we've already got on the books and what we're paying in interest before we go and add another one. I know what you're saying, but it comes a point. I looked at Perry Sound's budget, and they're into the millions. It's a little different situation than us, but as far as debentures, you've got a list of them right there.
Yes, sir. Right here, the list of the amount we pay for the debenture. So
yeah, and we're so yeah. We also got the Hurdville Road debenture. Also, how many years is it? For?
Center Road. So
Center Road. Right.
Yeah, $192,313 we are paying it.
Right.
And
what was the term?
What about the bridge?
I think 5 years.
5 years, that's what I remember,
Phase one was more, and the center road is 5 years. That's why it's the cost is high.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what happens with Belvedere, maybe you can speak to that, when they talk about going to venture in 2026.
Yeah.
Do we have to come up with cash there, or is it just a matter of, you know, a guarantee?
I don't know. As of right now, there's supposed no cash, but they're talking about in 2026.
So they would be going back.
If they never really got to that, I don't know if they just would raise the levy.
Well, I know when they talked campus of care, they talked about, you know, the fact that you wouldn't have the levy above here, but you had to help pay for the building, the construction of the new campus of care. That would come from the municipality, whatever the province wouldn't cover. So I'm wondering here, same with the 22 beds, where is that money coming from? Is Belvedere going to come back at some point and say, okay, we need a portion? And is that cash we have on hand, or is that something we have to debenture? So I have no problem with what you're saying. I just don't want to get into a situation where I use Perry Sound as an example. There are 8+ million, I think, in debentures. And that's a little frightening when you start paying the interest. And I know what you're saying, you know, over time, that's something new to us, but everybody's benefiting over the years, which is fine. You're spreading it out, and it's more affordable, but you don't want to get it that heavy either. So I no problem with what you're saying. It's just a question of adding up what we've got and seeing what it's going to do to us.
Yeah, I agree totally. It's too bad to have to go in debt, because we were debt-free for so many years, but it's just not practical, unless we really up our tax rate. We've been undertaxing people for years now, and now we're getting ourselves into a real bind. So we, at some point, somebody's going to have to face reality.
Yep, well, I think Roshan will look at that as an option. And you were talking there, mini pumper, and then Tom would jump in and talk public works grant. How do we finance $1 million there too? And repairing of, or replacing maybe a Hurdville Bridge at $2 to $3 million, maybe. Even though 1.6 was mentioned, I think even veterans was over $1 million, and that was quite a few years back.
Well, it's $400,000 to fix a little piece of paper on Hurdville Bridge.
Yeah. rating, I guess, back for fire? If there's anything in there that
I was able to just quickly obtain, sorry, before we completely shut the door on capital, I was able to quickly obtain the numbers that we were talking about the tower. I emailed Mr. Dirks, and he just clarified for me a few things. So last year's quoted cost for the self-supporting tower at the dump was $139,730. The current cost is the $146. It's a $141,500 with $5,000 built in as a contingency fee, is what he's requested. The cost for removal remains the same at approximately $38,000 for the old tower. Now, it may be easier and less than that. It all depends. Once we get the, according to him, once we get the new tower up, then it's a matter of snipping the lines. And if they're able to just drag it out, and if there's the ability to use township equipment as well in this, then the cost of removing that tower becomes less. So, but because we were making notes and because we were having the conversation, I wanted to make sure we had the appropriate number while I'm in the room.
So it's around...
Around the same,
180.
Yeah.
Right?
That was my timing. I was happy that you were in the color.
So, again, the removal cost is fluid. That's his worst case scenario, is what he's saying.
Before we go on operating, you know, I suggested earlier that. Can we use the telecommunication reserve for the tower? Is that okay if I, on next budget, if I use that reserve for this tower amount?
Well, what we have to discuss, of course, is to say if we pare down, should it go into that right now, or should we wait to see where it should go? If, for instance, the tower doesn't materialize, we don't do anything with it, just as an example,
right.
Not giving any heads up, I'm just saying.
No.
Then if that money's already used in there, could it be used somewhere else?
Okay.
So I'm just wondering if we should hold on until we make a decision on the tower. And if we go with Councillor Hassan's idea, too, that we're going to start financing other things, and we might need that money.
So on the next budget, should I prepare the financing, the mini bumper report, or...
I brought it up and council can throw their opinion in on it. I just think we're going to need help in some way to control the percentage of the tax hike, that's all, and I just thought that might be an avenue. It's up to council.
No, again, council has to discuss, because I think another thing we have to, if you're talking the financing route, and I really think the public works, it can probably use an upgrading as well as it's going along. It's about 20 some years old now, I think 2000, so it's about 25 years. And if we're going to add on to that, if we talk about financing, not just the mini pump, but I'm thinking something like that as well. And then, as Councillor Zulak said, I think we have to throw in the herd builder. I don't know where the money's coming from, but I think we have to look at financing a number of things, and you know, that'd be our worst case scenario. And then try to decide. What are their priorities? And I don't know if that helps you if you're trying to devise a budget.
From a fire department perspective, it is important to keep in mind too that come the end of 2026, we must place an order for SCBAs, which is at
right.
Low end $250,000. That is non-transferable. It's not delayable. We will have pushed that off as far as possible at that point in time. The SCBAs need to go into service for 2027.
But you have had money you've been able to defer.
We have been putting it aside. We started
right.
2 years ago on one of my first budgets, and we've been putting it aside
yeah.
since we identified that. Yeah.
So when the time rolls around, it'll be all out of reserve? Not that much is being put away.
No, but it will be a significant portion of it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so putting money in reserve, and then the other option is to finance. So, yeah.
financing on any particular item, just say, okay, we're going to allow a certain amount of financing also in the budget, say over the course of 5 years. That's an option to try to control the percentage of increase, or we say heck with the financing, or we do some cutting, and so yeah, I think it would be an option, I guess, in the figures going forward, if we decide we really do want to be progressive and get certain things to happen, but we just haven't got the money.
So I think what Roshan would need then, probably, if it's sort of cumulative, is a figure to finance for. Like, if you're talking 2-3 million sort of thing over so many years, is that... I'm just wondering. I'm asking Councillor Haskell.
Oh, me? I don't know. We could get them to do options. $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, and then we know whether we can start playing with other projects into our thoughts going forward also.
I think, like, I say small item compared to millions, like the 400,000, I think, like, we should do that, not finance that sort of thing. And then when you come to the, like, the millions or 2 million stuff, okay, like, that seems almost impossible for us to do, and maybe finance something like that. But if we find, like, we're just coming out of a fire truck one, you're saying, next year, and so if we pay this one, if we decide to go with that, pay the 400, you know, with from the levy, and then if we need to for our roads and that, because they're always an ongoing issue, the roads, you know, trying to keep them up and maintaining them, you know, with the slurry or the micro or just putting a whole new base and everything. But those are our expensive costs that, you know, they're almost impossible to, you know, put on the levy, I think.
Well, I kind of agree with your statements in a way. That the budget that Rojan laid out here, I was kind of impressed with. I really thought the expenditures that are in here, our tax increase, would have been a lot more when I got to the bottom line. I thought, wow, I was thinking we are just going to have to start just slashing all this. I think we're not far off, and it would mean a, you know, a straight out purchase of the pumper, and then if we think, okay, and the tax rate, we tighten it up somehow with some things in here, and then the option is, okay, or should we be looking then at monthly payments for many years to get something like the roads department, you know, the garage or whatever. So I kind of agree with what Debbie's saying there. It's just a case of stomaching the tax hike at the end of it all.
Okay, so I'm a little confused. As you talked before about Herdville, I guess, Herdville Road, the sooner the better sort of thing. I think that's what I was hearing, to have drawings done, et cetera, et cetera. And yet you're willing to put that off then and to venture.
No, I want it to. I live here, I love my community, and I want us to have the best of everything. And you know what? Sometimes you got to pay a little more to have what I think a lot of taxpayers want. I know some people are, it's tight for them, it's very tight, but I just feel it's, and I'm guilty of it too, being the tight guy at, you know, at the table for so many years and not upping those taxes the way they should have been. And so now I've feel like we've got ourselves in a little bit of bind, and we're just going to have to start spending a little more. And who knows what's coming way down the future. I know amalgamation hasn't been talked about for years, but all of a sudden it could come knocking, and McKellar's roads and everything else are in worse shape than all the other municipalities. Well, then we'll really have troubles catching up at that point when we're, you know, our governance is higher up. And so I just think we've got to try to keep our municipality comparable to the other municipalities. In other words, it's going to involve, yeah, tax, quite a tax increase, and maybe some financing, long-term financing. That way we don't look as attractive when they get talking to amalgamation again, when it's, oh, we don't want to take on McKellar's debt. Leave that alone. But anyways, that's all.